Praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I have lots of testimonies. It must be because it's the new year.
Amen.
This one came from our media orders. They can write us notes if they want to. And Dave, who is so intelligent, highly intelligent, you may not be hearing me, but anyway, Dave has it set up that if anybody writes a word prayer under the media order, it flips out to us into the email. Anyway, this person, Jacqueline, she says, I love and pray for you all. I listen to you and Dave all the time. I mean, pretty much every day, all day. I have you in my ears. So much so that when I am trying to remember something, I actually hear your voice saying it. Thank you. Wow, that's great. Thank you all for your generosity and truly compassionate hearts. I know of no church like yours, and I've listened to many. Thank you again from my heart, Jackie.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. All right. This one just came in last night, a praise report. Her name's Corey. We praise and thank God for answering our prayers. I called your ministry. My prayer request was to have more children. We had two boys, and after my second C-section, my scar had not healed all the way after trying to get pregnant for many years. We went for a checkup. The doctor told us I could not have babies unless he would operate and fix my scar wound because there was an infection that made it impossible. We know, with God, all things are possible. I was heartbroken. I told my husband, I'm not having that operation. God can heal me, and I wanted to believe it. After I called your ministry for prayer, 1.5 years later, I got pregnant with our beautiful baby boy. At first, the doctors told us my uterus was very thin, but we'd also asked God for a brand new womb, so we kept believing for it and did some more ultrasounds, and they couldn't find anything wrong with my uterus, of course. We also prayed for a natural birth, but it didn't happen. Not sure what was in the way. Maybe fear. We will keep believing for a natural birth next time because Jesus already healed me. Our baby boy was born the 1st of January, a New Year's baby. Thank you so much for praying. To God be the glory, Corey.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Blessings, my friend. This is from Tommy Thomas that has How to Beat at theodds.com. He said, we have a new website and want to thank you for being a part of it with your TV show we filmed. We love you and are praying for you, your family, and your ministry. You have been an inspiration to so many of us. Blessings, Tommy. Tommy Thomas.
Tommy Thomas.
Yep.
The world's most he's a gambler. He used to be the number one gambler in the world. He could ever go to Las Vegas and clean them out. And then he met Jesus.
Oh, praise the Lord. That's good.
What a guy. Tommy Thomas. I love him.
Yes. Amen. All right. This is from Robert. He says, you may not remember me. My wife and I went to your meeting in Lodi, California, which, my gosh, years and years ago. Do you want me to, I'll tell him the question and then you can answer it for the people. How about that? So he had a question, but there's a praise report on the back end of it. If you pray to bind a principality, how long does that binding last? Do you have to do it every day or once a week? That was a question. He said, your prayer partners prayed for my wife once before she went home to Jesus. And at that time, the bleeding stopped, which meant she did not have to have a major surgery. God bless, Robert. Praise the Lord. Yet she's in heaven, and praise the Lord, she didn't have to have that surgery. So what's the answer to the question? Do you have to pray once to bind the principality, or once a week, or once a day? What do you have to do, honey?
You take authority over those spirits. The first thing you do is you repent of sin.
Amen.
After you repent of sin, then you command the spirits to leave. And until you sin or fall short, if you command them not to come back, they will not come back. So when you cast out a spirit, you've remitted your sins, and you cast out a spirit, command them to leave and to never return. And if you don't sin, then there's to answer that, it says clearly there in 1 John 5:18. 1 John 5:18 says, my true children do not sin. They keep themselves from evil. And if you keep yourself from evil, the evil one, which is Satan, cannot touch you.
Amen.
So once we repent of our sin, cast out the spirit, He will not come back, especially if you tell him not to come back. And that's something you need to do. When you cast out a spirit, you need to know that you do this in total faith and authority.
Amen.
And so when you do that, then he will not come back until you sin. Now, he'll do everything he can to get you to fall, just like he did Adam in the garden. And Adam and Eve, you know, isn't that amazing how all this works? If you don't sin, you don't have to worry about the devil.
Well, he wrote back also, and his next question was, he said, I'm asking about a principality, not a spirit. And what was your answer to that?
They're all spirits.
Amen.
There you go. So that was good. So Luke 10:19-20.
Some of the names of them are principalities, but they're all spirit beings.
Absolutely. And they all have to obey you according to Luke 10:19-20.
Absolutely.
And actually, they have to stay gone according to Revelation 20, verse 3. And what was that other one the other day? Remember? Jesus told it never to return to him ever again. Return to him no more. We'll look it up. We'll find it. Okay. Most of y'all know Jack Butler. He used to come here for years, and then his mother passed, and he now lives in our house down there in Commerce. And so he just wrote, Your Influence. My brother, dear Thurman, I just want to let you know that your influence goes far beyond what you know. You brought me out of my confining Baptist training. I first moved to Houston, and now I live 2.5 hours away in Commerce. I've been asked to teach a Sunday school in a small, predominantly black church here. Praise the Lord. It is all your influence and teachings that has caused this situation to occur. Praise the Lord. You taught me the true power of the word. Now I can share this weekly with this small church of untrained folks. What a privilege I have. Thank you so very much. In a passing note, I am engaged to a beautiful Filipino woman. As an answer to my scriptural-based prayer, God caused our federal government to award the visa for her to join me on guess what date? Christmas Eve, December 24th. Without his intervention, what is the likelihood of a government bureaucrat doing anything on Christmas Eve? None. Many people tell me that this process takes from 7 to 9 months. He caused an answer in 4 months. It is so humbling to see his hand in action in our lives. What a privilege I have now to show this small congregation his power and love and their power in him. All because of your teachings. Thank you so very much, Jack.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, he got a couple healings here. Okay, this one, this man is in Puerto Rico. Okay, started out, he wanted prayer, but he came back and he wanted to tell us about his life. And we told him it was okay just to send a summary. So here's his summary. 3-page summary. Oh, and half a page, though. Hi, Pastor Thurman. Thanks for your precise time. I'll try to be short as possible. Since I was a child, I've been a loser or a bite. I don't know what that is. I guess little. The enemy has stolen virtually everything, from my valuable teeth to my childhood dreams. I had a father, but he was absent from my life without having him in my own home. While I was begotten at the same time, I was begetting a daughter like our home. My childhood arrived, and I remember that a lot. But a lot fell on my house. I think enemies started to harass me through sexuality when I was 7 years old. I already suffered from fantasies that dominated me, and women was something I had in my mind every day. Later, there was also a time of occult and witchcraft practices that made my spiritual life dirty to the point of having made pacts when I began to form my family, to the point of offering the moon in a rite to my firstborn, who when he turned 12, exploded suddenly with an attack of madness. I said at the beginning that I've been a loser because I do not remember retaining anything or forging anything lasting. Every opportunity and studies and business I had were ruined and stolen from my hand. Today, at my 60 years, I continue without anything affecting the inheritance of my wife, which you have gone back and forth. My finances are totally damaged. I've not been able to give my children anything. Nothing goes well for me. Everything's so complicated for me that I only see darkness and have stopped believing that there is peace and joy. I feel a torment take away, harass me, and tell me that I do not deserve to live. I have a wonderful wife, but I notice that she's getting tired of my misfortune. I have so many questions to my life. It's been 2 years since I accepted Jesus as my Savior and Redeemer, but I feel that I no longer have ideas or strength. 2 plus 2 equals 4, and I've seen that in my life equal 3. Some it is happening to me. I've heard that God has delegated something like heavenly angels in our midst to distribute his divine anointing. That is why I'm writing to you him. I think he means you. I saw that you are one of those angels or envoys of God. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you very much. Because we told him, send a summary and we will pray over it. So this was the prayer. We break every curse over you and your family according to Galatians 3. 13:14. The blood of Jesus pays for everything that you've ever done or would ever do. We've asked the Lord to fill you with the spirit of love, joy, and peace, and bless you and your whole family with wonderful and abundant lives. Get in the Word, read Joshua 1:8, and do what it says. Praise the Lord. And he writes back, blessings, Pastor. I have to tell you that something, it is happening over Yuli, that's his son, since yesterday. Some peaceful winds are blowing, some peaceful winds are blowing over her. I assumed it was the son. Thanks, Pastor. This miracle has to succeed on me and my family like you wrote. Thanks in the name of Jesus, Delio Quesada. Praise the Lord. A breakthrough for Delio and Yuli. Okay, then I had a pastor's wife write me. She first wrote to the ministry. Thank you for your ministry, God, so good. I greatly appreciate your healing schools and also your time to pray over the phone with prayer needs. Miss Sharon prayed with me. I received my healing. She also encouraged me to stand behind my husband 100%, and out of that alone, I've experienced amazing answers, victory, breakthroughs in my life. It's like dreams come true, and I'm just rejoicing. Please continue preaching this truth about marriage. It is the most transforming thing. Jesus baptized our 4 children with the Holy Ghost, the oldest 13, and the youngest 6. Plus, I experienced physical healings too. And Pastor Dave's messages on grace have been a huge part in it too. Thank you. And keep preaching stronger in the Lord than you ever have yet. Be blessed, all of you, in Jesus' name. Sincerely, Anna May. Then she wrote to me, Dear Miss Cheryl, thank you for standing with your husband in ministry. I have learned the greatest lesson from you all, and it is to submit to my husband. This has been one of my greatest breakthroughs. Thank you. Recently, I've been troubled by the ridicules of society that look at submission, standing up for the truth, and recognizing that sin is a root issue of defeat, sickness, etc. As a wife, how do you walk in love toward others that do not appreciate your stand, calling it religious? Thank you for your time. I wrote back to her, 1 Peter 2:23, even Jesus turned his case over to the one who judges righteously. Just turn anyone who comes against you over to the one who judges righteously. Then you don't have to do it. God takes care of it. Also, there are 4 things that we do for our enemies or those who come against us. We pray for them, we do good to them, we bless them, and we love them. You can't take it personal, as there will always be people who come against the pastor's wife. Look what they did to Jesus. We are no different, but he has our back. Also, if I don't walk in love with everyone, including my husband, that gives the devil an open door to my pastor, to the pastor, as he wants to take him out. That's why I try my best not to fuss with him or anyone, so the devil can't come against him and the anointing. That is what the world is trying to destroy. Don't let them bother you. Blessings in Christ, Cheryl. Praise the Lord. So she writes back, Dear Cheryl, thank you so much for that encouragement. I greatly appreciate advice from a woman of God. It means so much to me. I have one more question. Could you clarify how we, as pastors' women, can protect our husband's ministry, his personal life, and well-being, etc.? I respect my husband. I never want to open a door for the enemy, and I appreciate the godly man I'm blessed with and want to be a strength to him. Can you explain how all this works? How do my decisions affect him? And thank you for your time. I am forever grateful for your ministry. It's changed my life forever. Thank you for praying for my physical healing, but even more than that, teaching the word, faith, believing, and teaching me obedience, honor, and how to submit to my husband in all things. We're experiencing a marriage that is beautiful, and it's more than I ever dreamed possible. My husband is a pastor, and submission to my husband has been the greatest breakthrough for me. And thank you, Cheryl, for your encouragement and example in this. May you forever be blessed for your loyalty and faithfulness to the ministry. And may I ask you to agree with my husband and I to know the will of God, God's favor, his direction for my husband's workplace. We're praying for the mind of the Lord to know his will for us in the workplace. We desire to be in his plans for us. Thank you, Anna. And I think they're thinking about going to Houston. So praise the Lord. He answers all the prayers. That's what you said yesterday. He answers that he hears your prayers and he answers them. That's what he said.
Praise the Lord. Yep. He does hear our prayer, and he answers them when you do everything right. You can pray and not see any answers.
And that verse we were looking for was Mark 9:25, about when you cast out a demon. Can you put that up? Mark 9:25.
What's that?
When you cast out a demon and you tell it to stay gone.
Oh, yeah.
Mark. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him."
Amen. Amen. Oh, by the way. My granddaughter, 22 years old today. We asked her where she wanted to go for dinner Friday. We told her, said, we have a heathen school on Saturday and church on Sunday, so I can't take you to dinner on Sunday, so where do you want to go? She said, "Your granddad, I want to go to Babes." She likes Babes, so we took her to Babes. She had some of that chicken and mashed potatoes and green corn and all the good stuff. Wow. Doesn't God satisfy our mouth with good things? She's 22 years old today. Now then, some of you, if you've never heard the story about my granddaughter, you need to get a copy of the DVD, Caitlin's Miracle 2. When we done that teaching in Kansas City. Yeah, a little place right next door to Kansas City, Missouri. We did that teaching up there, and in fact, Ty and Cheryl, they flew up there with us. When that pastor, he said, I heard the story about your granddaughter, and I want you to tell my congregation the story of your granddaughter. So I done the teaching on Caitlin's Miracle 2. And I'm telling you, after that was over, Ty came to me and said, "I've heard you tell that story in no telling how many places and how many churches," but he said, "tonight this was the most anointed one I've ever heard you teach it." He said, "I cried nearly the whole time through the whole thing." He said, "Thurman, you got to make sure you get that on tape." So I asked the pastor, I said, "Did y'all record this tonight?" He said, "We recorded every minute of it." And so we have a teaching on DVD or CD called Caitlin's Miracle 2, and it's a story about how we stood by faith. Now, when I learned that you need to learn to pray in faith, it changed the way I do business. I want to tell you how just this last week. I mean, I love testimonies. I told somebody a while ago, I said, you know, I went to church all my life. I've been in church all my life, and most of my life, I think it was Gracie. I think that she was the one I was talking to. I said, it's amazing how that I went to church all my life and done very little praying, because I didn't really think God would answer prayer. Have you ever done that? You go to a church where if you've been in church for 30 years and you're in Sunday school and everything, and you never see, no, hardly ever see anybody get a miracle, well then what good does it do to pray? If you ain't never seen nobody get one, but all of a sudden you step into a world where you find a man or a woman or whatever, and every time they pray, something happens. And it don't take a year, 5 years, or whatever, it happens. I'll tell you, at that little Baptist church I was raised up in, the one miracle that I saw that changed my life forever, taught me so many things. One day I was there at work. I used to be a mechanic. I worked on cars. I was changing some spark plugs in a car there at the Chevrolet house where I was working. And my wrench slipped, and when that spark plug came loose and hit my arm on the side of the fender and started bleeding, and I had all kinds of warts underneath here on my arm. So I had 30 or 40 or 50 warts on my arm. The boy that I was working on his car said, "Wow," he said, "Thurman, you sure got a bunch of warts on your arm there." And I wrapped a rag around it because it was bleeding. He said, "Do you know Miss Ott Klein? She takes those things off." I said, "She what?" He said, "Yeah, I don't know how she does it, but he said, she takes warts off of people. I know several people she's taking them off of." So I got home that afternoon. I told Mother, I said, Mother, you know Miss Ott Klein? She said, of course. She's in my Sunday school class. It's Baptist Church. I said, well, I was working on a guy's car today. He told me that she takes these warts off. She said, well, my land, we've tried everything else. Let's go see what she says. So we went up there and we talked to her, and Mother showed the lady my arm and everything, and she said, oh, yeah. I said, boy, Thurman, you sure got a bunch of them. And she said, go in there and write your full name down on a piece of paper. Okay, now, I'm not understanding why this has to be done like this, but if she tells me to write down my full name, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to write down my full name, Thurman Lee Scribner. And so when she said, if whatever she's going to do is going to make this wart come off, if she says, write down your first name only, guess what I would have done?
Your first name only.
I'd have wrote down my first name only. But she said, write down your full name. Now, I didn't understand back in those days that God is a very, very specific God. And when I pray, if I pray something for Cheryl Scribner, Cheryl K. Scribner, if I pray something for her, all of a sudden I'm praying for her, and I'm praying for her, and I'm praying for her, and nothing ever works, and all of a sudden I remember. When Miss Klein asked me, when she did whatever she did for me, she wanted my full name. So maybe I need to find out what Cheryl's full name is.
Yes.
And then I need to pray for her, for Cheryl K. Scribner. Mm-hmm. If God is a specific God, and what if I said, well, her name is, I can't remember her first name, but I think her middle name was K. And I'm not sure what her last name is, but you know, God, He knows anyway. He'll get it right. And you don't remit of sins or nothing. So you can go back and you think, well, let's see. Why do I have to do all these things? But I don't know why I have to do all these things. I have no idea why I have to do that. She didn't tell me. She just looked at the warts. Told me, she said, wow, she felt of them, rubbed on them. I don't know, have any idea what that's doing, but she's rubbing on them. And she says, you sure got a lot of them. And so I said, okay. And so I wrote my full name down, Thurman Lee Scribner. We talked to her a little while, and then Mother said, well, is that all we need to do? She said, that's it, Artis. My mother's name is Artis. She said, that's all you need to do. I said, well, what do I need to do? She said, nothing. They'll come off. I said, they'll just go away? She said, yes, Thurman, they'll just go away. Thurman Lee Scribner. I wonder what that has got to do with it. You know, so sometimes if you don't get an answer to prayer, maybe you're not specific enough. Stop and think about that. Maybe you're not specific enough. If you want to make sure God hears your prayer, put your full name. If you got three names, four names, five names, put them all in there. Because God, He's a very, very precise, specific God. And you want to make sure He gets it right. So anyway, I didn't know what was going on here, so I just forgot it, and I went back about my normal business. As far as I can remember, from the day I went up there to her house, I didn't even think about those warts anymore. It was probably 3 or 4 weeks. One morning, I sat down there for breakfast with Mother, and I happened to look, and I almost spilled my milk. I jumped up and I said, Mother, look, all those warts that was on my arm. She said, well, go away. They're all gone. Boy, Mom got up. She looked. She felt my arm. She looked underneath there. She said, there's not a sign. There's not even a scar. She said, boy, when you get ready to go to work, let's go by and see her. So we went by there and we stopped. Mom got her some flowers in a flower store. When I was trying to give them to her, and Mom, she said, oh, Artis, you didn't need to get me no flowers. He said, but you took those boards off. She says, no, I didn't take those off. I said, well, who did? She said, God. I said, well, how did you get God to do that? She said, I prayed. I talked to God and I asked him. She said, I'm going to tell you the prayer that I pray for warts, Thurman. She said, after I looked at your warts and saw where they were, and I felt them, touched them. After I felt to those warts, looked at them, and I got you to write down your full name after you and your mother left, I went down there and I says, Father, in Jesus' name, let not the warts on the hands and the elbows of Thurman Lee Scribner, there's that name, Thurman Lee Scribner, corrupt or corrode him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, let not the warts on the elbows and hands of Thurman Lee Scribner corrupt or corrode him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, let not the warts on the elbows and arms of Thurman Lee Scribner corrupt or corrode him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. It's done. And she said, and then I just say, Lord, thank you. It's done. She said, I did that three times, and they came off. Well, I thought, I have seen something happen that I've never known is available. I've been in church all my life, but I've never seen an answer to prayer like that. Of course, you know, somebody could come along and say, well, it just happened that when you prayed, they just happened to come off. It really wasn't God. It just happened that when she prayed and the time was such that it just happened. Okay, you might have a problem, but you might say, well, that is possible. Is that true? It could be that somebody prayed for me and the warts went away and it just happened to be a coincidence that it happened.
No.
I mean, but that is possible.
Yeah.
No. You know, so that is possible. Now then, so I'm thinking, okay, so maybe it was a coincidence. But that prayer, let not the warts on the hands of Thurman Lee Scribner, wherever they are, let not the warts on the hands and the elbows of Thurman Lee Scribner corrupt or corrode him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. And I prayed that prayer. There ain't no telling how many times I prayed that prayer. Over the next 10 years, I prayed that prayer. I quoted that prayer. I thought, I do not want to forget this prayer. I saw something happen when a woman prayed, and I want to know how she did it. And so I prayed, and I remembered that prayer. I had no reason to use that prayer for 10 years, but I remembered it. And after I went to Vietnam, came back, went back to school, come back to the Dallas area and went to work teaching engineering for Brandeis. I stopped by a friend of mine's house one night. When I stopped by, he said, hey, he went to church with me. He had a son about 16, 15, 16, 17 years old. And I was there visiting when the boy walked in. And I noticed he's got this big old white thing on the back of his hand. I said, Cliff, I said, what's that thing? What's that on your back of your hand there? He said, oh, it's a big old wart. Thing was big as a quarter, at least as big as a quarter, maybe bigger. And he said, looked at that, and I said, wow. So I said, I'm thinking, I said, a wart. Now, all of a sudden, I've prayed this prayer many times. So I look at that. I said, well, how would you like to get that thing to go away? He said, well, I'd love it. That's why I put this medicine on it. I'm trying to get it to go away, but it won't go away. I said, go in there and write your full name down on a piece of paper for me. Now, see, I saw it work one way. I saw it work. So if I seen it work, it might just accidentally work again, right? the coincidence. It could be a coincidence, but I've seen it once, so that could have been a coincidence. But okay, the Holy Spirit's working on me, and so he goes in and writes down Clifton Wayne Hurley. I still remember the boy's name. That was years ago, years and years ago. Clifton Wayne Hurley. So anyway, he wrote it down, he gave me the paper. He said, "What do I do?" I said, "Nothing, it'll go away." See, how did I do it? Why did I do it like that? That's the way she did it. That's exactly the way she did it. So I thought, well, okay, so I go home. Now, when I get home, I get down there beside my bed, and I'm trying to be holy. I'm trying to do everything perfect. I'm trying to do things like just exactly like I saw her do this. Because I saw this thing take a whole 40 or 50 warts off of my body when this woman prayed. So if it did that for her, it can work for me, right? So anyway, I went in and I got down on my knees and I said, "Father, in Jesus' name, let not the wart on the back of the left hand of Clifton Wayne Hurley corrupt or corrode him, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord." I did that three times. I said, "Lord, thank you for taking off that wart." Just like the scripture says, do everything with thanksgiving.
Yes.
Don't ever ask him to do something without thanking him.
Right.
All these things, you've got to pay attention as to how this works. So anyway, I prayed and thanked the Lord for it and everything. And about 3 or 4 weeks go by. I got home one afternoon, my phone rang. Thurman. I said, "Oh, is this Cliff?" "Yep, Thurman, praise God." He said, "You know that wart that you told me to write my name down that was on the back of my hand?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "That thing's gone."
Woo-hoo.
I said, "You don't mean it." I said, "Well, it's gone." I said, "You don't mean it." He said, "Yeah, it's gone completely. Not a mark or scar or nothing. It's completely gone, that thing." He said, "Well, you told me it'd go away." Okay, now then I'm getting dangerous now. I mean, I'm dangerous. I seen it work twice. If it worked twice, Mike, it'll work three times, right? All I'm trying to learn is, how does this work? I want to know how this works. You too, right? You want to see God's word working. You want to see get prayers answered too, just like me, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. After you've done it three times and four times, and then one day a young boy in class in Sunday school, his mother and dad asked me to come to their house, and he has hundreds, not 100, but hundreds. In fact, they counted 187 on just on his left arm. He had warts everywhere. I never seen anybody like this boy. I had a few. I had 40 or 50, but that was all right here in one little area. You think, wow. And she prayed. And she prayed the word of God. And they went away. So if she did that, and I did this, and then when this mother and father, now I've gotten many answers to prayer. I'm learning how this works. I'm learning how faith works. I'm learning that when I pray, I must believe with no doubt in my heart. That's constantly is beating into me. When you pray, you must believe with no doubt in your heart. You can't have any unbelief. If you got unbelief, it won't work. God is not a halfway God. He's a full-time God. And whenever you pray, you got to believe with no doubt or it will not work. That's where we lose it. Somebody comes in and says, "Will you pray with me over something?" "Sure, no problem. What are you going to pray about?" I want you to pray that my sister, she's going to have surgery on her something, stomach or something here next week. I want you to pray that everything will go okay. Okay. I said, why don't we just pray and ask God to take it off, period. With no surgery. Oh, I can't go there with you. I mean, who are we dealing with here? Is this God? What do you think God can do?
Anything.
And then some, right? Have you ever read that scripture in Ephesians 3:20?
Amen.
Have you ever really read that?
Yes.
Honey, read Ephesians 3:20. This God that we're talking about here, this is Him. Now, I want to introduce you to this God that Cheryl's going to read about right now. Listen.
Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Where's that power at?
In us.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. This God that I'm introducing you to is the God that's taking these warts off of these people. Now then, whenever we prayed and 30 or 40 of them come off of my arm, and then when I prayed and one came off of a boy, and I was flying in airlines, and had been on a trip in Europe. We was coming back, and it was a guy come up in the cockpit. We were a freighter, but we had access to everything in the airplane. There was a guy come up there, and one of the guys there, when I looked, he had warts all over the back of his hand. I said, hey, you had the warts very long on your hand? He said, oh, yeah, a long time. He said, I've tried everything. I've been to the doctor. They burned them off. They've cut them off. They've come right back in their scars. I said, how would you like to get them to go away and stay away? So I'd love it. I said, well, write your full name down on a piece of paper for me. Why do I use this? Why do I use it? Write down your full name?
Because it worked.
It worked. I found something that worked.
Yes.
If I take your full name and I pray over you in the name of Jesus and I see my prayer get answered. In fact, it was only about 2 or 3 weeks later. We was on another trip going across there. And that one of the guys that was on there, he said, Thurman, you know that boy that was on this flight that lasted months that you prayed over those warts on his hands? I said, yeah. He said, he was telling us those things are gone. They've been there for years.
Praise the Lord.
I'm really getting dangerous now. Well, I'm looking for somebody to pray for. You got anything you'd like me to pray for? Can y'all understand why I'm getting dangerous?
Amen.
I'm seeing the King of the universe. Now, there ain't no doubt in my mind. There's too many. Somebody said all the time, and it was just a coincidence. I said, 10 years ago, you could have drawn me away. But I said, you got to me too late. I've seen Him answer prayer. And I've seen Him answer them over and over. Once you learn, Mike, I mean, there ain't nothing stopping you now, is there, son? Nothing. Nothing. And I just stand in awe when I think about what you can do. Just think. This power is in you. And then your faith gets stronger and stronger. And you pray over a boy that's got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of warts on him. And then you make a crazy statement. After you get the full name of Philip Anthony Wren. Philip Anthony Wren. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to build your faith. And God is going to take those warts off. And so 2 or 3 hours later, after I got down to this, I said, okay, now, Philip, you've heard me talk about this Jesus. Do you believe the Jesus I've been reading about and the promises He's made that He can take these warts away? Do you believe He can do this for you? Mr. Scribner, after what I've heard you read today, I believe Jesus can do anything.
Hallelujah.
I built his faith. Now, does that sound like faith talking?
Yes.
So Philip Anthony Wren, I prayed and asked the Lord to take off those warts and scars off of Philip's body from the top of his little head to the bottom of his feet. And I thanked him for doing it. And then I turned and stood up and I said, now then, I guarantee if you will stay in faith with me, those things will be gone in a few days to a few weeks. She was awestruck, the mother. She said, I've never heard of anything like this. I said, well, don't get out of faith with me, because I said, when I walk out that door, there's going to be a little critter. I've learned there's a little critter. You know who this critter is?
Yep.
He's pretty good at deceiving us, isn't he? I said, he'll come by and he'll say, you don't really think just because that old gray-headed guy came in here and prayed over you that those warts that Phillips had since he was 3 years old and he's now 11. He's had those warts and scars all those years, and they even tried to burn them off, and they come right back. You don't need to think that's going to come off when he prays, because it ain't going to work. But I said, you get that scripture out, and you stand on Matthew 18:19, and you say, Mr. Devil, let me show you what Jesus says. And I said, read that scripture to him that we prayed and believed that it's going to come off. It can't fail. Promises are yes and amen. So anyway, we prayed, and I walked out the door. 3 weeks later, there wasn't a wart on that boy's body, and it had been there from the time he was 3 years old till he was 11 years old.
Yes. Wow. Thank you, Lord.
8 years. And I can turn around and say, I guarantee they're going to come off.
Yes.
Because it ain't coincidence time in the Scribner house no more.
Amen.
I know God answers prayer, don't you?
No more coincidence.
No more coincidence. You throw them crazy those coincidences. You can throw those things out the window. There's no such thing as coincidence. There's faith, and that's what moves the hand of God. And that's why when somebody says, I can't believe you would tell somebody that if you don't get the prayer answered, they ain't got enough faith. Well, look at me right in the eye. You ain't got enough faith. If you can't get it done, you ain't got enough faith. You need to get in the Word and stand on the Word, and your faith will go. And then one day, you'll come to the time of today, and you'll have a young man walk in your office. I say, how'd things go today? Had a great day. Put 400 foot of conduit in today with wire and everything. Got that all done. And I got 200 foot more to do tomorrow. Cheryl's sitting there by the computer and she says, it's going to rain tomorrow. I said, okay, come with me. Let's go down to my office. I mean, do we live in the world?
Yeah.
We really do. You can't get out of it, folks. You're gonna live in the world. That's just the way it is. So anyway, I told this young man, I said, come on, let's go down to my office. I'm beginning to understand why that Jesus took Matthew, Luke, and Mark with him to go to a place to pray. Because, you know, there's people, they mean well. They want to help you. Just like whenever you go to have something done at the hospital, or if you have a problem, you know, after you have been prayed for, what does nearly everybody will say? Now let's take them to the hospital. I mean, they're meaning to do well, but they just don't know. They don't understand that God can do things. He don't need no help. We think he has to have help. So anyway, we go to my office. This was Thursday night, this week. I said, what do you need, Dave? He said, I need to get that conduit in there for the widows and the orphans ministry. I need to get that in before it rains. I said, the God we serve can do anything we can ask him for in faith. So I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking you. I said, Dave, you got the first 400 feet of that conduit in today and got it covered up. He's doing this for the widows and orphans. And I said, I know he does these things for so many people for free. So he's not doing this to get rich and make money. He's here to do things good for the kingdom of God. Amen. So I said, Father, in Jesus' name, don't let a drop of rain fall wherever he's putting this conduit in. I don't know where he's at, but wherever he's going to be tomorrow, you let that water stay off of that ground, let Dave get that conduit in, and let everything work just like it's supposed to. And when he gets totally through, gets it totally done, then the rain can come. We're going to be okay. Thank you, Father. I said, it will work, and you will be able to get it in Jesus' name. And Dave left. I went up at about 10 o'clock at night, and I went to bed. The next morning, I woke up at 9 o'clock. Light rain already falling at my house right here where I was in bed. So I just said, thank you, Lord, that it ain't raining where Dave's at. He's the one putting the conduit in, not me. So I thank you, Lord, that it ain't going to rain where he's at. I went back to sleep. At 10 o'clock, I woke up and it's pouring down rain. I said, well, Lord, I want to thank you that it ain't raining where Dave's at. He's got to put that conduit in. He's got 200 foot of conduit to put in. And it's not raining where he is, but I need the rain over here for the horse feed. So thank you for the rain over here, Lord, but thank you for no rain wherever he's at. That night, about 9 o'clock, he called me. He said, Thurman, I put that conduit in the ground today, and I worked till 5 o'clock this afternoon. I finished it at 5 o'clock, and he said, not one drop of rain fell till after I got through. Another what?
Another coincidence.
Another coincidence, right? After you've seen it happen so many times, you know that regardless if you get your answer one way or another, but God heard that prayer and he made it work. Ain't that something? In fact, whenever he told me that, I went up to Dave Rosenfeld's office. And he was there, and I told him, I said, Dave, I just heard a testimony from Dave Vulcan about what God did yesterday when we prayed last night for that water not to fall on that conduit. And I said, Dave said it didn't rain at all day long. For all day till 5 o'clock, he said he finished about 5. Picked up all his tools and put them in his van and started to leave at about 6, and it started pouring down rain. And it's rained over there ever since. But the conduit's in the ground covered up. Now, what did this God say you could ask for?
Anything.
So when I'm laying there in the bed at 9 o'clock the next morning, after I prayed that at 9 o'clock that night, the next morning whenever I wake up and it's raining, the thought comes to my mind, well, he didn't hear that one. He didn't hear that one because it's raining, lightly raining already. Now, you're going to win your battles right here. You're going to believe, or you're going to say, well, it didn't work. And what you say right there is going to determine your outcome of that prayer. When it's already raining, It's so easy for the devil to say, but it's not going to work. So you just say, well, okay, it's not going to work. We'll try again. But I was one word away from losing my answer. Whenever the devil put that thought in my mind, you're going to lose it. I could have said, oh, well, I tried, Dave. I prayed. But let me tell you, if you don't give up, what do you think about that, Dave?
Praise the Lord.
Did we tell that pretty close to right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Ain't that something? What can you ask this God for?
Anything.
And if you believe. No, if you find out I could have turned that water on over there that second time, or first time or second time, when I was laying there in bed at 10 o'clock, whenever I opened my eyes and I hear the rain coming down, and it's raining all over the place. I said, well, I prayed last night and asked it not to rain, but I guess God didn't hear this prayer. It was not his will to do this. But no, I said, Lord, I thank you that it's not raining where Dave's at. He's the one putting the conduit in the ground, not me. So it's okay to rain over here. And it did, and it rained. All day it rained. And he's over there in that ditch, and it's no mud. He's not even muddy at all. Are you beginning to get the idea how this works? How faith works. Why, there's so many times, just like when I told Philip, with Philip's mother and dad and little sister was both there, all of them are there, when I made this awesome statement that I love to make, I guarantee it'll work because it's God's word. I tried to tell Dave Rosenfeld that story, and I got so choked up thinking about God doing something like that to answer my prayer, and I couldn't even talk. Ain't that something? Now, does he have that same kind of a prayer deal available for you?
Yes.
Sure. Does he want to just answer Thurman Scribner's prayer?
No.
He wants to answer all of his children's prayer. But he wants you to believe.
Amen.
Mark 11:22. Turn to Mark 11:22, and Cheryl's going to read those first three scriptures. I want you to look at this awesome promise that this belongs to us, every one of us.
And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
Just saying. What kind of power was available in those scriptures she just read? Well, but you have got to believe. When you wake up and the rain's pouring down, you got to be still believing in your heart that it don't make any difference where I'm. It may be raining and pouring down rain, but over there where I prayed for the prayer for him not to have me in the water, I got to believe it ain't raining over there.
That's right.
It ain't raining over there. I can only imagine. Since Dave was there, and he saw this whole thing happen, as he's over there in that 200-foot ditch, he's putting that conduit and wire and all that stuff in there, I can only imagine as he's looking around that Friday morning, and it's raining everywhere. But it ain't raining where he's at.
Right.
Now, isn't that something? It ain't raining where he's at. He's putting conduit and stuff in the ground. He's putting it in there, and everything's working perfect. And I can just see him now saying, wow. Thurman and I prayed. We agreed. Two of us on earth agree about anything. Yet God heard our prayer one more time. No more coincidence. That coincidence thing is gone.
That's right. Amen.
Would you like to know a God like that?
Yes.
Would you like to know a God that every time you pray, He answers your prayer?
Yes.
Well, we'll just introduce you to Him tonight. He's here. He's here. But you have got to believe. I remember the time that I used to have so much back trouble. I began to learn these principles. They're working. I'd come up with something and throw my back out. Oh, my lands. I remember one time I threw my back out. I reached over in the back of a pickup and it was a tester. It says in there the weight of this is 67 pounds. That's pretty heavy. Reached over in the back of the pickup, pulled it up like that, and something snapped right there. Boy, 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 did I set that tester back down. I thought, I'm learning, so I went to the doctor. I was still in the Air Force. I went to the doctor. I remember when I walked into the doctor's office like this. He said, what's wrong with you, Airman? I said, I put my back out, sir. He said, bend over and touch your toes. I said, sir, I can't look down at my toes, much less bend over. I was hurting so bad. So he put me down and said, go home and lay down with your feet elevated for 6 inches high for a week. And at the end of that week, I was hurting so bad everywhere else that I got well. It was killing me. I thought, Lord, if this faith stuff works, I've got to learn how to make it work for me. I kept working with it, kept reading, kept learning. One day I'm out there and I thought, okay, I can do this. I reached over and get something. And when I picked it up, it snapped. I said, Father, in Jesus' name. That scripture Cheryl just read, Mark 11:22. I got to have faith in who? If I have faith in God, that means that I got to believe that this word she's reading me is going to work.
Absolutely.
Not maybe. So I said, okay, in the name of Jesus. Mark 11:23 says, whatever I say with my mouth, if I believe it with my heart, I can have it. It's done deal. Right, Miss Jackie?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
So I said, that's it. I'm going to walk away from here. And I set that tester down and I reached over and put my foot. I was turning, and when I did, you hit me in the back with a 2x4. Bam! You ever been hit in the back with a 2x4?
No.
I hope you don't ever, because that's for sure what it felt like that day with me. When I took that step, I said, now in the name of Jesus, I can see perfect. In Jesus' name. I can walk perfect. I have no problems. I have no pain. I'm going to walk in Jesus' name. And I took a second step. And oh, it's that 2x4 wasn't quite as heavy as it was the first step. That first step, that was awful. And I said, Lord, I can walk and I'm going to walk with no pain. And I took that third step, 1, 2, 3. By the time my foot hit the ground the third time, the pain is completely gone. And glory to God, from that day to this, I've never had another back pain in my life. Did it require some tests?
Yes.
Did it require some study?
Yes.
But did it work?
Yes.
But you know what most of us do? Just like I was. All those years, when I start to take that first step and it feels like, bam, in your back, you think, oh, that ain't working. You know what I mean, don't you, Mike?
Yes, sir.
You've been there and done that too.
I know it.
So there's another guy that he's just like, he knows what it's like to take that step with that back out when that devil's in there, when he's in charge instead of you, and he's pounding you in the back. I mean, whenever you start to take a step and that pain is, oh, I mean, it's awful. You don't want to take that second step, do you, Mike?
No,
absolutely not. Me and him both been there. We know what it's like. But one day he had faith, and when he had that faith to believe that his wife could pray and touch him in Jesus' name, and his thing was going to work, he believed. And that day, whenever Gracie prayed over him and touched him, he was instantly healed, just like he said, in one heartbeat. I was completely healed, and he's been healed ever since. Does the Word of God work?
Yes. Every time.
Every time. Wow. Is God awesome or is He awesome?
He's awesome.
And then some.
He's more than awesome.
He is absolutely magnificently wonderful. Now that you want to know how we get these answers to prayer that started out 50 years ago, when it was a lady praying over a young boy's arm that had warts there, God knew what he was going to do in the future. I had no idea. But I sure am glad that I've learned.
Amen.
It has changed. We've all been blessed learning these principles of how they work. I thank you, Lord, that I'm healed, that I can see perfect, I can run perfect, I can walk and I can do everything good, and I thank you that my hip is healed, my body is healed, my back is healed, and I'm made whole. Lord, men like Mike and me that you have done earned our living working on automobiles and things, it sure does work better when you don't have no pain. When you're working with no pain. I hate pain, and I hate more pain to go on top of it. So, Lord, when you take away the pain, we are so grateful for not having any pain. You are a mighty God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we praise you and thank you for everything you've done, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now then, Lord, I thank you that Mark 11:23-24 belongs to us. Jesus spoke to that tree and that tree died. And then he told us, have faith in God. And we have faith in God, then we can have, he said, whatever you say with your mouth and you believe it with your heart, you can have it. It's yours. I thought about Candace and Clifford the other day when he met that couple that they'd been trying to have that baby. I mean, here he is, he don't even know this couple. But he gets up out there and he prays and tells them that she's going to conceive. Because he's seen the Word of God work. Cliff had not seen these kind of things either, but now he has. It ain't a coincidence no more, is it? It works. God's Word really does work. But it's tough, but it will work if you will make it work. Wow. Father, I thank you for all the wonderful things you do. I thank you for healing everybody that comes to this church, to the healing schools and to the Sunday services. And I thank you for healing every one of them. I thank you for blessing every one of them. I thank you, Lord, that your word works. I thank you that you taught me these principles and I've taught it to others and it's worked for them just like it did for me. And Lord, I thank you for healing everybody here today. I thank you that their bodies are healed, or everything's healed. Thank you because you bore our sickness and removed our disease on that cross 2,000 years ago, and when you've done it, it's done. Now we are everyone healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.